This morning we're heading to the bookshelf to thumb through a beautiful range of books. And our first guests are not making it up because they've already done a lot of work and they've brought in the final product to share with me. They've teamed to make, and I'm waving my hands around a little bit here because it's not just words, it's words and pictures. One of my favourite types of books. I've got a demonstration going on. Boat Bird, A Story of Ongoing Survival, is a new book, and it is created by Jo Pollitt and Lily Blue, who are women who wear many hats.
Indeed. Jo
is a dancer, choreographer, writer and dramaturg. Lily is AGWA's artist educator.
Wow.
And a creative consultant. And together they've created Bluebird. Good morning, friends. Help me out here.
Good morning, Tanae.
Good morning.
I would just like to open by saying that my expertise and what I teach mm-hmm. is improvisation. So I've been doing that for 25 years. So I think we're going to work well this morning.
Excellent.
It is my area of interest. And I think that making it up as you go along contributes much to this world and takes a lot of skill.
How did this collaboration begin?
Well, it began many years ago. We started making a contemporary arts magazine for children and artists that featured the work of children and artists side by side as a way of interrupting hierarchies in the arts mm. and offering a different kind of poetic richness for children. And that's really where our artistic collaboration began.
Lily was based in Sydney and I was here, so it was all done via email. And
I was going to say, was this snail mail, this process?
It was over 13 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and we had our first kind of, the first publication of the magazine launch, I think, in about 2012. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it launched at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney and at the Opera House and various places, and we've created 10 of those magazines that have kind of gone around the world.
Did you bring one of those to share?
No.
No, we didn't. But
are they like collector's items?
Well,
We've had
a few requests. But
because they would be beautiful and scarce.
They're responsive, so we made the pages specifically so that, you know, children, adults, anyone could draw directly onto the pages, respond to the artworks, contribute their own, and then it became sort of each one became a kind of a keepsake. So we hear from, you know, people that have got the whole set or want the last missing two magazines.
And
it
was a very multi-generational world. So the Child Artist Response Project was one of the key projects in the magazine where children responded to contemporary artists' work or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then those duets were published in the pages of the magazine. So the idea of that multi-generational and intergenerational conversation was really important. And Boat Bird sits in that intergenerational space because we're all part of complex communities of all ages. So it's not specifically a children's book, even though it is a picture book.
Okay.
It speaks to those spaces between.
So what's the story about?
Well, okay, so the tagline is A Story of Ongoing Arrival. It was originally conceived following actually a very awful time when, you know, the boats were crashing against Sydney and children were drowning. And it was during that time that, you know, the government was saying that there were no children in detention when in reality, well, just off the top of my head, there were, you know, 55 in one detention centre, for example. So we were obviously, with the rest of the country, outraged at the, I guess, lack of response and lack of compassion in practical ways. And this character emerged between us via an overlap of images, words, responses that we just passed back and forth and back and forth until this story of journeying started to emerge. And then we started to talk about the complexity of those journeys.
Yeah, and we were really asking questions about the role of an artist and poetics and how ambiguity or allegory could help us
mm-hmm.
tell stories and engage with each other in a less didactic or less inflammatory way to make space for more people to enter into those kinds of conversations. And I think our collaborative process, which is very entangled and responsive and improvisational, also illustrated how we wanted other people to feel that they could come into that conversation. And often people say to us, you know, say to Jo, because she is a writer, did you write the words? And I'm a visual artist. Did you, you know, draw the images? And to a certain extent, that's true. But we are the entangled process of responsiveness and the way that Jo cuts my images up and then I might provoke a way words fall to the page, and the poetics of both the images and the words work very closely together.
Mm. Yeah, the idea of a co-authored journeying, I think, is really important to this work as well. That it, there are lots of stories, and I think what Boat Bird does is just make way for these conversations intergenerationally about things that we've become that have become too, I guess, difficult to hear,
or perhaps
we're becoming apathetic to the kind of the horror of some of the images that we're being fed, you know, it is, and what is actually happening in the world, and how do we talk about that in a way that makes room for, difficulty, and I think helps to connect people with their own sense of compassion and what can be done through these ideas of allegory and conversation, really.
And I think it's also really difficult for a very naively drawn bird with a little boat on his head, on her head, to be divisive.
Yeah.
So it's a way that we can come together to share what is collective about experience rather than being stuck in divisive conversations where we can't find each other.
Binary.
Well, it is funny you said his head, her head, because the genesis of Boat Bird did start as a he, and then he became a she, and then was non-binary actually for a very long period of time until at the very kind of final hour when we started working with, I think, the Museum of Freedom and Tolerance and Shaheen Hughes, who has been incredible in supporting the project, and the Addies Foundation, who supported us to get, you know, the work printed, and Jean Eaton, shout out to Jean and Broom if you're listening, our legendary
incredible designer.
He's just a fantastic human. But these kinds of collective conversations, I think, the idea of the non-binary or the more than one way of being, I think Boat Bird herself, now that she's arrived as a she, and the reason she arrived as a she was that there's a line in the book that just says she was tired, and it's a double page spread, and I think it illustrates for so many people at the moment to varying degrees, but certainly I think this sense of exhaustion that people are experiencing right now in 2024, I think it's heavyweight. So, you know, and I do think that all of the things that we're talking about, you know, like climate crisis, the world in crisis is deeply gendered, and that is often not talked about. So in the end, she became a she.
Chatting with Jo Pollitt and Lily Blue about Boat Bird, who I'm very keen to meet. Are there many books like this in Australia?
Well, there's an extraordinary number of phenomenal picture books
Absolutely.
In Australia.
But this is
stopped at Paper Bird, and so there are an incredible number of them. I think the idea of the intergenerational and multigenerational conversation, and also the layers of academic rigor, art practice that sit kind of underneath the surface of the story, are also a really important piece. It's political, it's academic, it's philosophical, it's emotional, and yet the images and words that fall onto the page are beautifully poetic and very easy to access. So I think in that way it is unique.
It's simple. We were at the printers, actually, who were very lovely, but the wonderful woman there said to us, girls, it's 28 pages, let's just print this thing. And
meanwhile, it had taken us 10 years to make
In that moment, it was like, it takes so much time to be so simple, actually, you know, and people think you just, it's that many pages, you just, get it together. But actually what it took, and, you know, we both have full-time jobs, so we're working, you know, in the slipstreams of moments, hence it's taken a decade to finally get it to the bookshelves, and Terri-Ann at Upswell picking it up into her. I think we're the first picture book in her whole collection here. So it's pretty great being in Boorloo and, you know, getting to be in that particular publishing world with Terri-Ann, and, you know, her prior, she used to direct UWO Publishing, but to work with this independent publisher in this country is pretty wild.
It's taken us a few minutes to chat about what it is and how it looks, and it's beautiful. How do you reduce that in those slipstream moments where you need to share with someone what Boat Bird is?
So I think there's a process of distillation that we're both really used to. Big Kids Magazine was, importantly, not a diminishing of complex ideas for young children. It was a distillation of complex ideas with a high expectation of what they have capacity for. So I think that's part of our practice. And so with Boat Bird, we were able to reflect on the time. So obviously it was first written over 10 years ago, and we're living in a very different time now, over a decade later. So that conversational responsive process helps to distill ideas down. And the nature of a picture book also makes it possible to do that.
I'm looking forward to sharing Boat Bird, a story of ongoing survival.
Arrival, actually. It's arrival. I know. But I do think that survival and arrival go very well together. And considering we're going with the non-binary here and the more than human, it well suits. Arrival.
What page does it say she was tired?
Yes, you need that one.
There's such layers of
tired.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Jo, Lily, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.